Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and looking kind of like a...
Jamoke.
A Jamoke. I have the Jamoke in the house with me today. CJ in the house.
One and only.
What's a Jamoke?
I don't know. I think...
Is it a...
My dad was saying when I was a kid, he always called us jamokes when we were being goofy and doing just goofball things. And so
it's a
for all I know,
word of
what?
Endearment?
Kind of, yeah, I guess. It's more like a endearment for a loving person in your life that's...
Doesn't know what else to say.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about, here's this thing, backsliding. What does that look like? You know, are we... Truly, are we what the Bible says we are? I mean, are we truly followers of Jesus? Are we just pretending that we are? Are we pretending because we're afraid of hell in a sense, but we're not sure? Are we trying to ride the line here? Are we on the fence line like the Bible talks about, right? Who's the line belong to? Who's the fence line belong to?
That's
Jesus
a good question.
Or to
That's
the
a good
enemy.
Question.
Okay. And so we're going to kind of kick that around a little bit here in a couple of minutes. So we want you guys to be able to hopefully get a little something from what we're going to be able to share. But in the meantime, we always like to kick things off with some sort of encouragement. Now,
yes.
I know that you are thinking hard on
most,
a whole bunch of other things.
Most of my encouragement I don't ever get from myself. I get from other people, and same as today from A.W. Tozer. So here it is.
What does Tozer have to say?
Tozer, not Tozer.
I would say Tozer. Now, don't try to correct me. Because when I had lunch with him, he says, you know,
yeah, the convert that must pay a heavy price for his faith in Christ is the one that will persevere to the end. He begins with the wind in his face, and should the storm grow in strength, he will not turn back, for he has been conditioned to endure it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Kind of like how for some reason when you mentioned the wind in the face and everything, I kept thinking of the apostles in the boat when Jesus was sleeping, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're going, and things were okay, and then all of a sudden the storm kicked up, and, you know, all of a sudden you now got salt,
out.
You know, coming into your face, the boat's rocking, and it looks like it's going to tip.
And they say, Lord, Lord, do something, so they know he's the Son of God, and then they don't think he's the Son of God when he dies. So,
yeah.
kind of like our walk.
It's kind of like, I was going to say, kind of how we can end up being at times. And so what did you want to say about?
I just want to say with that is when we first start a walk, it begins... you know, it can be very joyful. Just we have an abundance of love and grace on us. But as we grow and as we walk with it, the Lord's going to make the wind come a little harder to strengthen us. Now, he's not going to put us in a tornado right away because we're going to fall. But he's going to strengthen our loins, our joints, our muscles to endure it so that when a stronger wind comes, we can stand up against it and persevere through it. So
okay, and I know you use the the analogy or the of muscles and
joints
and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But truly, what are we talking about there? We're really not talking about physical.
No, we're talking about our inner spiritual muscle in a sense.
So what would that look
the
like?
Holy Spirit in us is our walk with him, how it's going. It's our our relationship with God, in a sense, is
and
is,
with others.
Yes, with yes,
I
with
mean,
others.
That's it really is. What shows the fruit, right?
Yep.
Because of what
Amen.
Ends up taking place,
yep.
we
Amen.
We know that God wants us to act this way and be this way. I mean, it's no different. I brought this up many times with other guys, and even with myself, in a sense, where, you know, when I'm around my grandkids and everything, you know you're loved and they mm-hmm. love you and you love them and you do whatever is necessary to protect them and do whatever is mm-hmm. good. Can we use that same love toward people that we don't like or maybe yeah. who have hurt
We're
us?
Supposed to. It's hard. That's yeah. yeah.
But that's what we're talking about.
Yep.
That's the strengthening
Amen.
That we're talking about, that it of being a man of God is, mm-hmm. is being more Christ-like, where Jesus loved everybody.
Yeah.
Now, doesn't mean he took care of business, right? He spoke the truth and said, this is what, you know, use the word of God mm-hmm. or the word of God to be able to defend and to move forward in things. But then he also backed away at times
mm-hmm.
and allowed these people, knowing that maybe they have a hardened heart in a sense. But we're not to judge like the Lord. That's up to him. He's
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We just need to...
Yeah. Well, we're supposed to just to do it and pray, and,
yeah.
and that's how it is when we take the step of faith to go out and do something. He'll give us more strength to do it, and then we'll have more boldness and courage to do something a little bit more, and that's kind of how the walk goes, and then we fall, and then we get back up. And,
yeah. So the encouragement here is to do the things necessary to increase that walk, right?
Oh, allow the Lord to be. Don't just avoid life in a sense, and don't always. I know it's hard not to ask the Lord to take certain things away, but if He takes it away, then you're never going to be able to stand up in that hurricane when it comes. So
you need the experience.
We do. And that's why Paul says, you know, let's be joyful, give praise, and how much more to be thankful for the trials and tribulations, because that is what strengthens our faith. No one ever comes out of a perfect sunny day. Man, my faith was just abundant in that time. No, it always comes after the storm, and we look back and we're like, man, by the grace of God, I made it through that, and
yeah.
I'm much, much stronger in faith now. So.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
you go.
When you're stronger in faith, you have that relationship with Him where you know that where you're at is exactly where you need to be.
Amen.
You haven't arrived, and if you
think you're just more grounded though in Him and confident, I should say.
Right.
And you know, in prayer, you're not shaken when prayers aren't being answered, or you know, just little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when you're grounded, when you're founded deep with the Lord, and you're strong in faith. That those things don't rock you as much.
What does that look like in a man that you would notice in life, you know, a guy that with either a coworker or you know, someone? How do you recognize something like that?
Something
we just described, that you are, in other words, that what we're striving to be. What does that look like to us, for someone else to see that?
I would say, like an example,
not use the name or
hopefully I understand what you're saying here, but like if my child were to die or someone's child has died, and you see them praising God, persevering through, yeah, it's hard. It's a big, big struggle. I've never had a child die, but I can only imagine what it's like. And when you see them still having fruit being produced in their life, even going through all that, that I think is a strong foundational faith in the Lord when something
okay,
like
so
that
in,
takes
in,
place.
In essence, when you see these people that they actually, whether it's their values or their decisions that they make and the way that they speak and act and talk with others during times of trials,
yeah.
Is a good determination that there is something inside this mm-hmm. person that is probably leading them.
Amen.
Rather than them trying to just do certain
yeah, and I think what you said in the middle of trauma, that's the key, because most people, in fact, can be that in times of sunny days.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
when there isn't yeah. a sunny day yeah. if we're still, you know, being able to have all that, the fruit of the Spirit, in a sense, that's when our faith in Jesus is really shown. And even in when that happens, that is a big testimony to the Lord in for other people when they see that stuff taking place in your life.
Right.
So.
Right. All right. Well, good encouragement, man. That's going to segue yeah. right into kind of what we're
it
talking
does
about
segue,
here.
Yeah.
Because in a sense, as men in darkness of living life the way that we thought that we need it to be living it, and then get to a realization that, you know, there, this isn't really working as well as I thought it would, and a lot of failures take place, and a lot of where you just keep doing all the different things to try
miserable
to make
life
work, uh-huh. And you even change relationships of all sorts to be able to try to make this life have some meaning to it, and you sometimes maybe even get to that place where you give up and you say, you know what, I don't really care what happens anymore, and which unfortunately takes you down into deeper into that pit, mm-hmm. where you won't see any light or any hope at all. And as a result of that, unfortunately, that takes people further and further away from any help, because you isolate, you stay clear, you don't let mm-hmm. anybody know what's going on in your life. You don't. You just want to live out in the woods, but yeah. you're living in your own place.
And some people get to the point where they just take their own life.
And that happens. We want to be careful here. It's not that we're saying that's the reason for someone always doing that. Yeah. Sort of thing. You get to a place where there's really no hope when you decide that. But you know, sometimes getting close to that is what is necessary for us to be able to be willing to hear that there is hope when somebody Amen. Else ends up saying something, or something takes place and you experience something and you notice that. Whoa, how did they get what they have?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now it's got your attention. Now, I'm using an analogy in the sense of getting to that place where so much in our lives have to be really bad before you end up making a decision to, as an example, not as an example, as it is, following Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Well, I think, unfortunately, and I say this to a lot of men, because it's true with myself and a lot of men I run into, it seems like, is that unfortunately, most men, in my life experiences, we have to get to that point where there's nowhere to go, yep. when we've hit complete bottom, and that's the only time that we give God ears to hear.
So how do you get to your bottom? What's the bottom? How do you know the bottom?
Well, my bottom was when death, suicide was on my thought for like months at a time.
Yeah.
So that's when my bottom was, and it was weird because, I mean, I remember I had my gun on the thing, and then my kids and now wife are in the other room. That didn't even faze me. I didn't even care about them. I was so just mm-mm. distraught and gone. I just didn't even care. So it was pretty bad. But only then, it was kind of strange. The only thing that stopped me, from killing myself is the fear of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the process of all that, I had a lot of doubt too that God existed, but it was a lot of it was because of my own sin in my life. But it's funny, the thing that drew me out of that was the fear of hell. I feared hell so much, I realized that God has to be. If I fear hell, then there's a God.
Yeah, if you believe in that, yeah. you know there's got to be something good. opposite.
Yeah, and so that is actually what kind of started to draw. So once God, by his grace, he grounded me and was like, hey, you know, this is legit. I'm real. Then I was like, mm-hmm. well, I should probably change my life. Mm-hmm. I'm living, you know, like a child of the devil, so I really don't want to go to hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I didn't start off doing it because I love Christ. I don't think I was born again or saved at that time, but I do believe I was on the journey towards him. Yeah. I still had the burn of all my sin because I wasn't truly repentful, and the biggest thing is I just didn't love him, but I just didn't want to go to hell. That's what started my
fears.
Walk.
Basically, yeah. what it comes down yep. to is fears. What actually helps make the decision. There's something about this. We get to this place that you talked about, and I say we because I too had the same thing. Mm-hmm. I actually had the gun in my mouth and mm-hmm. my thumb on the trigger, the shotgun, and the thought came to mind. It wasn't about Jesus. You know, it wasn't about hell or anything like that. What I thought about mm-hmm. is I didn't want my two daughters, who are mm-hmm. 4 and 3, to come running
that.
Inside, and because they're going to end up seeing something that would be
haunting for the rest of their lives.
For their lives, yeah. I couldn't do that because there was a love. There was love in me, but here's what the deal was. See, when you start thinking like that, you start feeling like that. That's the ultimate, I believe, in selfishness, self-centeredness.
Amen. I agree.
That's the apex of that. Nothing else matters. It's just my life, and it's not good. I'm to blame, and I can't, and I can't, and I. And unfortunately, that's where I think God allows certain things to take place in our life to be able to see that and to realize that we need to make other decisions.
Yeah.
And things have to change.
Well, the thing is like I said, I was not even remotely close to being willing to giving God my ears to hear until I got to the point. The thing is when he took all my selfishness away, he took everything that I desired, everything that I loved, everything that I wanted. He took it away from me. And then I was like, well, now that I don't have me in the way, maybe there's something else. Mm-hmm. So, and he gave me ears to hear by the grace of God. And unfortunately, it left a big trail behind me. So, and I'm still suffering with those consequences today.
Yeah.
So just because we're walking with God doesn't mean we don't. I think the pastor on the weekend said something about we still suffer with the consequences. You know, we may be on point with God now, but it doesn't mean you don't have to suffer the consequences from what you did 30, 40, 50, 60 years prior.
Absolutely. So, and for those like myself who have had many relationships, in a sense, my children are the ones that end up having to. There's challenges, and for them, I mean, it's not stuff that they can't overcome. But the fact is that they have multiple grandparents, in a sense, many places during the holidays that they need to be going to, stuff. And you sit there and you go, okay, I take a back seat on it. My wife and I take a back seat on it. Allow the kids to, and then be able to take advantage of. But because of our lives, because of getting to that place of a bottom, God taking us from the grips and saying, hey, listen, I want to use you somewhere else, you all of a sudden feel like, okay, I don't know why, and it doesn't matter, but you start heading out of that pit. Mm. We're going to take a break. Amen. We come out of that break, we're going to be coming out of the pit. We're going to be talking about what it is to be able to, you know, let others know that this is what took place in our lives. And more importantly, forget about what letting other people know. We just want to know, are we on the right track?
Amen.
Or is this another track, another good idea? Amen. So we're going to be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Football season, it's the perfect time to grill up some dogs, whether at a tailgate party or out on your back deck. And the perfect choice is a Hempler's Bun Buster hot dog. Or if you really want to impress your friends, grill up some Hempler's Hot Link sausages, or maybe some of their smoked sausage and cheese kielbasa, or smoked garlic sausage, or you've got to try their amazing double smoked sausages. Yum! Can't you almost taste them right now? Plus, the entire Hempler collection of smoked meats are gluten-free and they have no MSG. At Hempler's, they have a proud family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. Look for Hempler's meats the next time you're at your local supermarket. For more information, visit Hempler's.com.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. caneslawnandgarden.com.
Back to Band Brothers Radio. I've got CJ in the studio with me.
Whatever, Chavis.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to keep guys listening. You know? Anyway, so we get to this place in the pit that all of a sudden we don't just feel a hand reaching down. We actually feel like somebody's
grabbing, uplifting, yeah,
picking mm-hmm. us up and pushing us up out of the up out of the pit, in a sense. And that is how God has His way of being able to do that. To all of us, have our own stories about that sort of thing. Yep. And it's Amen. So important that we always remember that
every right? walk is different.
That's right, mm-hmm. and. But it was necessary for you to be able to receive it the way you experienced it
Amen.
So that you can yep. get to this place of even listening to the show.
Amen.
Okay, I'm sitting there going, you know, I'm having challenges in my life. I want to be able to hear this sort of thing. So praise God that we are at the place where we're at today, okay, versus where we used to be.
Amen.
And in some cases, it seems like that's millions of miles away or many millennium before. But the fact is, we can still remember it, and we can be back there in a splecket.
Without God's grace, you know, easily.
Like Pastor Felix said one time, we're one stupid decision away, or one decision away from doing something stupid.
Amen.
You know?
It is. Well, and the thing is we can't, the only reason we're even able to talk is because God has given us grace. He's so saying, we are not where we used to be. It's not because of us, it's because He just had mercy on us. He forgave us, and all of a sudden He...
What, you didn't pull up your own bootstraps and say, this is where I'm going to go from now on?
I'm just going to man up and do it.
You didn't do that?
I know.
Yeah.
So, I thought I could until...
Until we end up finding out that we couldn't and sitting there going, okay, you know, I can't fake it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you get to that place of wanting to fake it, you know, and the God has such patience with us, doesn't He?
Amen.
I mean, seriously. I mean, I
wouldn't have dealt with myself. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have dealt with myself.
Yes, exactly. You know, that's a good way to put it.
We
would sit there and just go, oh. But we don't. Here's the thing that kept us from a lot of that stuff. Is sometimes we just did the fear of what was going to come. We didn't want to feel the pain that we thought would. In your case, where you said you feared hell.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to because you from what you. Understood that there would be a lot of pain and discomfort there.
Yeah.
And your fear of receiving and enduring that was greater than
it was. And the thing is God allowed that to, fear is an extreme motive. I love fear because for that same reason, same thing is the fear of the Lord. We have to have such reverence and fear of Him, of what He can do to us, that it awakens us. Now, it doesn't mean we love Him right away like I did, but it's like, if He can do this, and He may be, maybe I should pay attention to Him and what He says. And then all of a sudden, as you start walking, then He reveals more and more to you. He doesn't reveal everything all at once.
Right.
It's a process. It's the walk. It's the encouragement. He blows a little wind. He shows you a little bit more of Himself, and you're just continuing going and going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the faith happens. Now, the problem is I think when we get to a point when God has kind of put us up on the rock, in a sense, and we're walking, like, man, this is so much better than where I was. I'm just going to go dab a little bit in what I used to do. Because I got this. I know I have my relationship with God. I'm just going to go back a little bit and mess around with this a little bit, because I know I won't go completely back to the pit where I was.
Yeah, the waters might not be near as rough as they used to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to go dip my toe in there just a little bit just to see if it. And, but usually what ends up taking place is that little do I realize that, I'm the enemy.
Yeah. Well, the thing is once you start dabbling a little bit in the sin that you used to do, I think this is where the backsliding comes in a little bit, is when we start, we all of us will screw up and do stupid things, be idiots in a sense, but it's when you start enjoying that sin that you used to do, and you're going back to a little bit more, and you're putting the Lord off, and you start, and it doesn't even have to be something big, it could be as simple as loving working on your vehicle or your house more than spending time with God. All of a sudden, that selfishness creeps in so fast. It's unbelievable, because all of a sudden you're just like, oh, this is important. I need to get this done. Once I get this done, I'll be happy.
And
I'll be
there
satisfied.
You said I six times.
It is. And that it is. And it has everything to do with me.
Yep.
And so once that selfishness takes place, then that's when adultery, murders, lying, then all that follows. But first thing that comes is selfishness, because once that happens, then you're willing to do anything for self.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and unfortunately, we end up correcting our children. saying, it's not about you. And what, you'll correct them, whatever means. Maybe it's verbal. Maybe there's sometimes a little spanking that comes along with that discipline in a sense. And yet when we end up something that we are caught in a sense, God disciplines those he loves.
Mm-hmm.
We sit there and go, why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? I can't believe that this, why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
But we're not willing to take a look at the way our lives have been living.
It is.
You know, so it makes it challenging. And we sit there and we go, okay, we come out of the pit. You mentioned God takes us and puts us on the rock. Mm-hmm. That rock is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And as a result of that, we have opportunity to make decisions. That never is taken away from us. We always get opportunity to make a decision. Now, you may make a decision to take a drug that will not allow you to think that you can make a decision. That can happen. And that has happened, okay? But the point is that that's why we have to capture every thought, as the Word
Amen.
Of God says, okay? What does this mean? What does this apply to me? Is this something I need to be pay attention? Is this something I need to give to God ask him to bless me as a result of whatever decision I make and to see it clearly the way he wants me to see it? You know, those are things that we learn, but it doesn't happen right away. We have to make that conscious decision of saying, you know what? I want to follow this guy.
Mm. Yeah, I don't want self. I don't want what I used to enjoy.
Yeah, I want to follow something else. You just saw a movie here the other day that I gave you to watch called Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes.
Right?
That is hilarious.
Okay. It is. It's a funny, funny, it's a good movie. It's just all,
yeah.
But can we not relate with that sort of thing in a certain sense? But there are those who are following, okay, they're all willing to go in the physical realm. You see them going forward and heading toward the river, okay? And but as a result of life in itself, heading to the river, there might be a good part of the river, but there might be other parts of the river aren't that great, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it leads to sin and stuff. And because you're saying, oh, look it, I'm feeling so much better. This is a blessing.
Well, it is.
It's
better. Anything's better than being where we used to be in the pit. And then all of a sudden God has grace on us. We think, I run into a lot more lately is that men use God's grace as if it's like just free water coming out of the faucet, man.
And, yeah, you just push the button, all of a sudden you get
More grace. I can just ask for forgiveness for everything and anything I do. Hold on, let me read something here. It's on my mind. I got it.
Where's it at? Give us an address.
Well, maybe I thought I had it.
Okay.
I don't have it. It's
you
around here
you don't
somewhere.
Have it. Well, I'm just going to, in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, okay, a follower is someone who supports and is guided by another person, okay? A person who likes and admires someone or something very much. Someone who does what others say to do, okay? One in the service of another, one that follows the opinions or teachings of another, okay?
So what was this? I wasn't paying attention.
That's all right. They're listening.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. I'll just tell about what a follower is.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Anyway,
yep.
In the meantime, did you find
one? I'm ready to rock and roll. So what we were talking about, what was I talking about before I got to this? Do you remember?
Why don't you just read it and maybe it'll come back.
A little shock. All right. Then he said to the, this is Luke 13, 7. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down.
Yeah.
And
so what you're saying is that we could be like that fig tree?
That's what I'm saying is when we use God's grace as like the faucet, that's what it was, as like the faucet, the water coming out, and we're like, oh, I can ask for forgiveness. I can do this. If you have not bear fruit or if you're not bearing fruit, God will not strive with you forever. That's why he had the flood. That's why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why the end of the world's coming. He will not strive forever with us in our sin and taking his grace as just water coming out of the faucet as used as much as we want, how we want. So he will not strive. So that is, I like that because it's a very fearful encouragement to put away sin and to
do good works. Now, let's clarify here.
Yep.
Is this sin? Is this a sin that is... just happened because we were tempted and we fell for the temptation for that moment in time? Or is this a sin of that it's a conscious sin, one that we deliberately or we know that we want to do? And like you said, testing the waters, mm-hmm. and then you kind of go into it.
And using
What do you think that analogy is, Jesus uses there?
I would say, for one, I would say even when we do know that what we're doing is sin and we do it now. Now, let's say that lasts just for a moment. It's there and it's gone, okay? God has grace, but if we continue to do it and we actually have the mindset of, like, I can use God. He will forgive me no matter what, so I can do this. What that's saying is I want to do this sin because I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to stop it just because he says so. I'm going to use his grace as a means of escape, mm-hmm. so that I can enjoy my sin. Mm-hmm. That is an evidence, I think, of maybe not being either. Here's the thing is, you may be backslidden or you may be just a false convert altogether. The problem is you don't know until after a long time period has passed by. So I think that's the thing of where you said, before we went on the break, when we come out of the pit and we start on the walk and we're wondering, where are we? Well, I think if you enjoy sin and you find things in the Bible to make excuses to do the sin, I think that's what this is talking about. When you try to use God to do the things that you love to do. So
yeah, you know, it's so difficult to try to break away from self because you can't. You have to live with you, and
yeah.
I mean, you can have that choice of saying no, I don't want to anymore. But no, you know, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. And we were bought for a price. We're no longer belong to ourselves.
Amen.
We never have.
Amen.
But we truly have it because Jesus took care of that.
We're aware of it now.
Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And he says, hey, man, I just want you to just, you know, take up your own cross, man, and follow me. You know, follow me.
It doesn't mean doing self.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this selfishness, self-centeredness, what it looks like in that fence line area. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Hi, this is Raul Chavez, founder of Band of Brothers for Christ in Bellingham. And if you're a man living in our area, I'm inviting you to enjoy a free barbecue and a uniquely inspiring atmosphere for men on Tuesday nights. The men of Band of Brothers for Christ come from dozens of different churches and gather together at 6 p.m. every Tuesday night at Christ Community Church, located on the corner of Guide and Horton Roads. You'll enjoy a time of eating together, developing meaningful relationships with other men, getting inspired and equipped by God's Word, hearing amazing, radically transparent testimonies from other courageous men. Be courageous yourself and come and check us out on Tuesday night. You'll find more information at bandofbrothersforchrist.org. bandofbrothersforchrist.org. Looking forward to seeing you on a Tuesday night.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
My hope is in.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. We got closing moments. We got some time here. We're talking about this place of following Jesus, and being a follower of Jesus is, you know, what does that sound like? What does that look like? You know, it's not only accepting him, it's actually saying, I'm willing to follow this guy, whatever he says. Now, who is this guy? Well, he's the Son of God. He is God. You know, he left us an imprint on our hearts. He is, if we read the Word of God, he's one that loves us greater than anything else around, and that he would always be with us. He would never leave us nor forsake us, okay? There's so many promises that he gives us that we sit there and go, wow, why would we want somebody like that? Because that's what we desire. We desire that in people that we know, but we're talking about another human being that is of flesh, the same as we are, and as we fail in our commitments and things that we're willing to do, they do too. Yep. And yet, we so love it when our children love us, our wives love us, and others, you know, family loves us, okay? But when we end up saying the same thing about our Lord, he says, hey, man, the only way you can show your love for me is by being obedient to me.
Amen.
That's Raoul's standard version, right?
You know, Raoul's paraphrasing.
Yes, my own paraphrasing. But really what it comes down to is that's what it says, is that we need to be willing to do whatever's necessary.
It is.
You know?
And I think, unfortunately, what happens is a lot of times we have, whether it's either backsliding or we don't truly, like when I started walking with God, I don't believe I was truly saved, but I was heading in the direction.
Yeah.
But the problem is I had a great burn on my back, and it's people, they have, I think when they start to walk, they have a lot of, we were talking a little bit earlier about condemnation that goes on. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that is, now there's a difference between condemnation and conviction, but, condemnation I think is, takes place because we have sin that we haven't dealt with, we haven't repented of, in our life, and so every little thing that comes, our soul is condemning us in a sense because we have this burn. It's like if I have two of my wife's suitcases on my back when we're going somewhere, and it's on my back and I can't get rid of it, and then a package falls on top of that. That would be like looking away and lusting after a woman coming back, and all of a sudden you have all this condemnation on you. And then, so it's like that package falling on top of the two suitcases on my back. Well, if I didn't have the two suitcases, the burn on my back, I could easily reach up, grab it, and throw it off. But because of the burn I have on my back, I can't reach the small package that fell on top of it. And so then another package falls on. And so when we're walking with God and we have an unrepentant part of our life, every little sin that we do, and we maybe accidental sin, every little accidental sin that we do, it weighs heavy on us, and we have all this condemnation. But it's because we can't get rid of the burn on our back, the actual sin that's causing
all this. You are saying burden.
You're not burden.
Yeah,
I'm using
burn. It's not like burn, and I just want to make sure.
Oh, yeah, not burn, burden, like burden, something you can't get rid of.
Yes, right.
And so the thing is if you were to get rid of that burden, if I two of my wife's suit, which are she packs big suitcases, so I mean, so I'm talking like 70 pounds of suitcases on my back right now. So and the thing is I couldn't reach something if it fell on top of it because they're so big and so heavy it weighs me down. If I were to get rid of that, when a package falls, when I accidentally lust at a woman or something, I can grab it, throw it off. Now that's not saying I can get rid of my own sin, but what that's saying is I'm not going to have the condemnation pounding on me all the time.
And I see the analogy of what you're using, but I don't understand what the suitcases of your wife, what that has to do with anything.
That's the burden. That's how big. That's what I'm trying to say. Like if I had 70 pounds of suitcases on my back, it would weigh me down.
So your wife's has
my wife's a burden.
That's not what you're saying. I mean, am I the only one that gets that incorrectly here? I'll sit here and go, if Felicia could hear this.
No, I'm using the example of all, I don't want to say crap, but all the stuff that she has for going for a 5-day vacation. is way too much. So that's just a side note. But the point is, if we were going somewhere and she took all the stuff that she usually does, it's a heavy load. And if I were to carry it on my back, there's no way I would be able to take anything else off my back if it fell on me. So the same thing is with us when we don't get rid of and we're not repentful of the sin, the major sin in our life, or conscience sin, I should say, in our life, and all of a sudden we do something, we have all this condemnation on us, and we think we're a backsliding or we're this or that. We can't get, our spirit isn't right with God. A lot of it is there's somewhere in our life. We may not be walking with God, so yeah. We have all this condemnation on us.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
You took that way off to where
just going, okay, we're going to go to that class again, Analogies 101. And
How not to use your wife in anything.
Okay. I'm back on this fence.
Back
thing,
on the, okay.
You know?
Yep.
The fence line itself.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
whose line is it?
Yeah.
Or fence.
Well, a fence itself, okay, is usually placed around something, right? To keep something or someone in or out.
Mm.
Okay.
Both.
Right?
Yep.
Both ways. It's to enclose with a fence to keep in or out of the fence, as I had mentioned. Okay. But one of the things that ends up taking place is that we end up realizing that, you know, that fence line, we get close to the fence line, you start noticing or hearing or sensing a lot of the temptations and stuff. Sometimes guys like to walk.
Yeah.
Let's just use a large circle, okay? And this circle is that you're glorifying, you're following Jesus, okay? And that encompasses that. When you get closer, when you're right in the middle of it, there's no problem. You're in it, man. You're engulfed, and you're just in it.
In the spirit, you're walking.
You're doing what you can, okay? And not saying you're perfect, okay? But sometimes you decide to kind of venture off near
widen
the fence
circle
line.
Up.
Let's see how wide the circle is, you know? And you start walking along that fence line, you know? It's kind of like on the horse, right? Just riding that fence line and just looking over there. You see that, oh, that grass over there looks a little greener than my grass.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if I went over there and checked it out.
Those neighbor kids look like they're having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And the thing, and that's, we'll always check where our perimeter is. And the thing is, even as kids, is I like the horse thing. But for me, I would have been climbing up on top of the fence to see what was over. And so because we hear a little bit as we're walking, like, what is that? And we can't see through it. Well, I'll look over the fence. I'll just hop up real quick so I can see what it is.
Yeah.
To ease my mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they were like, oh, they look like they're having a lot of fun over there.
Because what ends up taking place is that we're instilled with this human frailty of curiosity.
Curious killed the cat.
That's it. Well, then just kill the cat. Kill a few other things. You
millions
know?
Of people.
And but the fact is that we want to see. We want to know. We want to, you know, is there something better? Okay. Now, when I say better, sometimes this walk with Christ, following him, is not going to be easy.
No.
He says it's not. He says it starts off as a wide path, but that thing is going to get narrow.
And difficult.
And the reason it does that is because you start getting to the Word of God, you start hearing what he's saying to do. We kind of sharpened each other before the show in a sense of sitting there going, hey, none of us are going to be able to get this. Have any of us ever sinned? Yes. You know? It's not a conscious sin. I don't have that in my life today, the consciously going there, because that's, I know that's wrong.
I don't enjoy it. I don't want it.
Exactly. Yeah. But you have this other, you know, in a sense. You know, yesterday I ended up watching a movie that had some cursing in it and some attitude that wasn't very good. And I thought to myself, okay, why am I doing this? Well, you know what? I asked for forgiveness, and then I took an action that I needed to take.
That is taking the action. A lot of people, I have the conviction. I know I'm wrong, but I could probably still do it and still go to heaven. So
yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. I don't believe that. All I know is that there's going to be a judgment when we hear the horn. It's too late. When you hear that trumpet, it's too late.
There's no court of appeal after that.
I mean, it's like all of a sudden, you know, all the phone lines are down. Everything's down. So, you know, I don't necessarily
want to be on the fence.
I don't want to be right there, you know. I want to be basking in the center here, or helping others, trying to find him and going from there and doing the things that are necessary. Amen. And those are things that are difficult for us. So as a follower of Christ, the best thing we can do is follow him. Stay as close to him as possible.
Amen.
You know, the woman who just, she just wanted to touch his cloak. She was bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. All she wanted is just wanted to touch his cloak. There were those that in the book of Acts that just wanted to be in the shadow of Peter. That's all. I just want his shadow to fall upon me, okay?
Amen.
We just need to desire God more. And when we do that, he's going to reveal more of who he is. Amen.
And sin and the sin and the lust of our flesh doesn't look so tempting. You know, but as soon as we stray, as soon as we start getting close to that perimeter fence, no one is excluded from being tempted from what's on the other side of the fence. So if you think you can get near that fence and not be tempted, you're lying to yourself.
Yes.
No one is. Yeah. No one is.
You know, it's so difficult sometimes that when you're by yourself to encourage yourself to do some of the things that you know you need to do. That's why you need fellowship. That's why you need other brothers around to be able to say, hey, listen, you know what? I noticed that you're not feeling, you don't look too good. You're like, there's some things going on in your life that maybe can I keep you in prayer for? And those are the type of conversations that, the old me doesn't want to have, right? I don't want to have. I don't want people to notice that I don't have it all together or I'm wrong.
Perfect.
Or I'm exactly. Yeah. And really what needs to take place is I need to be reminded that I am not perfect.
Amen.
And I need to be able to know what it is that God wants for me, because that's the only thing that's going to be able to get me out of the funk that I'm in.
Amen.
In the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, I love this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
Meditate.
I need to be that man. And I pray that you are that man. And how about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Father, I thank you for allowing us to talk and to love you and just to be in your presence. Father, I ask that you do help us and give us grace to meditate, to love your word, to love you, Father. Please reveal to us in our life the things that we need to get rid of, the things we need to purge, whether it's a movie or lust, whatever it is, Father, please reveal it to us so that we can walk more holy with you every day, and then give it away once we have it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.